Houses of worship are often recognizable, whether they're churches, synagogues, mosques, or the holy buildings of other faiths. But our next guest says the architecture of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temples has evolved over the years in some interesting ways. Greg Allen is a writer and artist in Washington, D.C., and wrote about this in the magazine Art in America. He spoke with my co-host Mark Brody, who asked him to describe this evolution.
Sure. I think the thing that I found as I tried to sort this out was that there really were these sort of phases in the history of the temple building process and the design process. But especially right at the beginning, there was always this sense of someone had a vision and they tried to capture that vision in a physical form. So Joseph Smith was the first one who had sort of visions of what temples look like. And for him, you know, it's maybe unsurprising. They kind of look like the chapels in New England where he was raised. Brigham Young had a vision, I think, for what the Salt Lake Temple should look like. And it turned out to be different than the temples that Joseph Smith had built in his day. Brigham Young's vision, as it turns out, you know, sort of looks like almost like a fortress, the Salt Lake City Temple, the sort of iconic LDS temple, you know, of granite was sort of built to be this impenetrable fortress that will last until the second coming of Jesus. You know, it was going to be there for, and then all through that. So, you know, it's going to last for 1,000 years. And I think that there was a phase where LDS temples, especially in that Utah era, kind of looked like forts because they had sort of fled persecution, but were kind of defending their own territory. I think at some point in the 20th century, LDS temples looked, you know, there was a period where they wanted to look more sort of credible and worldly. And I think the Mesa Temple in Arizona is an example of that. It kind of, to me, it kind of looks like a courthouse, classical, sort of solid, stable, credible. And then there's the era where we're living in now, I think, where there's this sort of like eye-popping space age temples like San Diego and Washington, D.C. that really, rather than just sort of sit there and look reverent, they really want to get your attention and say, you know, come look at me, come see what's going on here. They kind of work temple architecture into the, you know, the proselyting mission of the church itself.
Yeah, I'm curious if you got the sense in writing this story that there is a message in the architecture of these temples, as opposed to just aesthetics. But like, is there something that they're trying to say?
You know, I think it depends. There are various messages that come and go in the temple building history. And they're definitely, if you go to the Salt Lake Temple, it's under construction, so who knows what it's under the scaffolds now, but there are all kinds of symbols and like celestial, you know, symbols carved on the facade of the temple. And, you know, of course, there are a lot of temples that have this statue of the angel Moroni with his trumpet, you know, a gold statue on the top that sort of proclaim the restoration of the gospel and sort of the whole mission of the church. But I think generally most temples, you know, inside and outside try to feel a little bit like a spot of heaven sort of plopped down on earth. And that if you go inside it, it will feel as close to heaven as you can get. I think that's kind of the lingering message that they all want anybody to visit a temple with and to sort of take away from it.
How has the church tried to, I guess, tailor some of its architecture to some of the newer places that they are building these temples, not just specifically in Utah or even in America, but in other parts of the world?
You know, I think that when they first ventured out of Utah, and, you know, Arizona is one of those first spots, and Hawaii, and there's a little in the middle of nowhere, Canada, that has a temple, sort of like Mesa's. They were really kind of first starting to figure that out, you know. And in fact, those three temples all kind of look the same. They look like little courthouses to me, but they tried to look a little modern, but then have a little bit of the local flavor in the style of the decoration on the outside. I think that what's happened really is as the church has started building so many temples all over the world, in order just to do it in an economic way, they kind of have to have a standardized model. And so they'll have a template and then sort of put a little bit of a skin or finish of local, you know, decor or flavor on top of it.
So regardless of the outside and, as we've discussed, the design's evolution over the years, I think for a lot of people, if they see an LDS temple, it is immediately recognizable to them as an LDS temple. There's just something about it that makes it really clear right away what it is.
I think that's true. I think that they kind of had to develop that. I don't know if it's by trial and error, but they kind of evolved. And I think that there are a lot of temples now with this sort of single spire on a box that, you know, I just was in Utah last week, in fact, and drove through down the freeway. You see like four or five of these temples being constructed in Utah, but they're this a similar model that are, you know, being built all over the world, that there's a box with a spire and maybe there's an angel Moroni on top or not. But I think they tried to find a temple or a religious form that didn't look like other religions. They didn't want it to look too Catholic or too Protestant, and to sort of become one of something that's identifiable, as you said, as an LDS temple. And I think, you know, now 300 temples later, they've kind of done that.
Do you feel that the architecture of these temples reflects back anything about our culture or about the cultures in which they're built?
I actually studied architectural history as an undergrad, and it always seemed like it was sort of the message or the intent of an architectural space, especially a religious one, is to sort of inspire and give a sense of awe or a sense of like otherworldliness. And that it can be a cathedral or like a Buddhist shrine or something. You know, there's a whole variety of examples of that. I think LDS temples really just feel, I mean, there's a bit of a domestic feel to them. And maybe it's because they're trying to really say, I mean, you go in the front door of everyone says House of the Lord on the front. And maybe that's the distinct feature of an LDS temple, is that there's always a kind of domestic scale to it. It's not the kind of 100-foot ceiling cathedral. It's really, it feels smaller and a little more intimate inside.
That was Mark Brody's conversation with Greg Allen, who's a writer and artist in Washington, D.C.